The Lord is good and worthy to be praised. Bill Johnson, just some food for thought, said, "We are often more convinced of our unworthiness than we are of his worth. Our inability takes on greater focus than does his ability. But the same one who called fearful Gideon a valiant warrior and unstable Peter a rock has called us the body of his beloved son on earth. That has to count for something. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood." Last week we taught from the Lord's Prayer, and we discovered that concentrated, intentional prayer will produce purity and power in our lives. It positions us to seek God's face rather than his hand, and it positions us to a place where his power and glory are on display. His presence in prayer will transform us. Clement of Alexandria said, "Prayer is keeping company with God." And I want to remind you of what Rick Warren said, because I believe it's key to pushing through some things that are pushing against you. Satan tries to limit your praying because he knows your praying will limit him. He tries to limit it because he knows your praying will limit him. So tonight I want to pray the Lord's Prayer over you. It's the prayer that we prayed together last week, but I just want to pray it over you tonight. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the kingdom and the glory forever. Amen. The Lord's Prayer is a kingdom prayer. And I pray that it becomes something more than a pattern that you recite, but it becomes a kingdom transformative prayer in your everyday life. And we learned last week that this kingdom prayer begins with adoration. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We talked in length about that, and I'm going to just touch on it, then I'm going to move into some meat tonight. Psalms 104 tells us to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and praise his name. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's the will of God for you to be thankful. Not just the loud ones. Not just the extroverts.
Amen.
Giving thanks is the will of God for you. And we looked at this beautiful passage that is a wonderful launching pad for adoration in Psalms 103. This week, I'm going to make it personal. If you know it, say it with me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from destruction, who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. This is such a powerful passage of adoration, because sometimes we get locked down even in our worship. We feel unworthy. We don't know where to start. We're overwhelmed. We're overrun. We're burdened down. And so this is a beautiful place to start, because it reminds us of five benefits that we have: forgiveness, healing, rescue, favor, and blessings. And then it ties it to one of the covenant names of God. So it's powerful. And then from there, you just begin to thank the Lord for being your song in the night, for being your light and your salvation, your hope. But because adoration and praise is like a plow, it plows up the hard soil of the soul, and it prepares us to experience God's manifest presence. It literally moves us into consecration. We come into expectancy, and we desire intimacy when we have been in a time of adoration and praise, and we begin to just thank God for all he's done. There's something that happens. Then we move into consecration. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to stop for a moment. Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear what you're saying, because this will transform every facet of our life if we get the revelation tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. When we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we are aligning ourselves with the will of God. We're purposely saying, I'm going to set myself in the face of God, and I'm going to hear what God has to say. And it is like seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's making him a priority. It's taking our eyes off of the things of the world, and it's putting them on the things of God, the things of heaven, and we align ourselves with him. Jonathan Edwards says, the seeking of the kingdom of God is the chief business of the Christian life. It's one of our main goals and functions is to seek first the kingdom of God. Before anything else, seek him first. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I want you to read at some point tonight or this week, Luke 17, 20, 21, so that it gets planted deep within you, because the Pharisees asked Jesus when the kingdom of heaven would come. They were looking for a king, still looking for the kingdom of heaven, and they were looking for it in a location or in a place or in a thing. And he says to them, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is in you. Romans 8 and 11, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the kingdom of God is in you. He gives the spirit without limit. We have the power of God. Our chief goal is to seek the kingdom of God and to host his presence. The kingdom of God is his presence, power, and rule living in us, working through us. We are God's temple. We are God's address. We are his physical representations in the earth. The kingdom of God is anywhere God is king. I also read recently that the kingdom of God is heaven's culture lived out by people completely ruled by God. Andrew Murray explains the kingdom of God this way. It is the spiritual state in which the life of God and of heaven is made accessible to men, and they enter into its enjoyment here on earth. The mark of a kingdom is the presence of the king. The abiding nearness and fellowship of Christ is the very central blessing of the kingdom. He went on to say, the mark of the kingdom is the rule of the king. Psalms 103 says that the Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. So the mark of the kingdom is power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. A life in the presence and the will and the power of God has been opened to us so that we can enter into it and live in it. Jesus said in Luke 12, he said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is the pleasure of the Father to give you the kingdom." It's what God longs to do for us as his children. How many of you have children or grandchildren and you love giving gifts to them? You want them to be blessed. You want them to thrive and not just survive, but thrive. God wants that for us. So it's his pleasure to give us the kingdom. Bill Johnson said, "Most people repent enough to get forgiven, but not enough to see the kingdom." So when we pray, "Your kingdom come," when we make that part of our life, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we're inviting heaven in to invade our life. And we're saying, "God, I don't want to just live on the fringes or live with just enough to get by and get to heaven. I want to walk in kingdom power in the earth. I want to see your glory in the sanctuary. I want to see your power in the street when I go out and I pray for those that are lame and blind and halt, that you will move as you did in the book of Acts." That's kingdom. We're in a spiritual battle. Every single day, we're in a battle. The enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your peace, your joy. Your desire, your expectancy. He wants to rob you. We're in a spiritual battle. Matthew 11, Jesus said, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." In other words, the kingdom of God is not passive. We don't just sit by and say, "Okay, sirrah, sirrah, whatever will be, will be." We get up and we put on the whole armor of God. And we call heaven to earth. And we take authority over the sphere of influence that God has given us. Because Matthew 16 and 19, as his church, we are told that we have been given the keys to the kingdom, which is power and authority. And whatever we bind on earth is going to be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is going to be loosed in heaven. We were never meant to just be passively making our way to heaven. We have been given the keys to the kingdom, and we are kingdom people calling the kingdom of heaven to earth. The psalmist said in 144, 1 and 2, "Praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge, who subdues peoples under me. He trains my hands for battle and my fingers for war." You know what that means? That means I have to be teachable. I have to be willing. I have to be open. I have to be available and ready so that God can teach me the things of the kingdom and train my hands for battle and my fingers for war. My takeaway when I just read just the things that I've read to you tonight is that operating in his kingdom, presence, and power is the will of God for every single believer. Not just preachers, not just the priest of the home, not just for those who are 30 years old and older. It's for everybody who names the name of Christ. We have the kingdom of God in us. And this kingdom prayer helps us to focus that way and prepare for God to operate in us and through us. Charles Stanley said, "The amount of time we spend with Jesus, meditating on his word and majesty, seeking his face, establishes our fruitfulness in the kingdom." The amount of time we spend there. How many of you know that his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom? It's an unshakable kingdom. Everything else around us is shaking. My blood pressure went up last night watching the debate. I had to pray, turn it off, pray. I just had to do it. There are things that are just being shaken absolutely all around us. But his kingdom is an unshakable kingdom. And the things that he has said and he has established, they're going to remain. The kingdom of God is God's activity and involvement in the course of human events in order to accomplish his purposes and reveal his plans to his people. The kingdom of God is present now, and God is desiring to express it through the earth. And that's why even through all of this, we can call heaven to earth, and we can pray, and we can ask God to begin, as he did all through his word, to change the course of things, even happening in our families and happening in America. We do not have to get fearful. We do not have to back down. We know we win in the end. We know that. But in the meantime, we are being called upon to call the kingdom of heaven to the earth. He wants to be active in and through us. He chooses to be involved. God does through us. When we worship, we call the kingdom of heaven to the earth. I hope you don't get tired of it. And if you do, it's okay. I'm going to keep telling you anyhow. Do you understand that that is why the enemy shuts down your praise? He sits enthroned on the praises of his people. It's where miracles happen. It's where change happens. It's where we're transformed. That's why if he can intimidate you, get you too tired, get you too upset, too offended, whatever it is, whatever he can use to quiet you, to subdue you, he's going to do it. Because you release the kingdom of God when you worship. You are the gateway for the glory of God. You are. This is just a building. We're just people. And we can come in and we can leave the same way that we come in or worse than what we came in. Or we can come in, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me be the gateway for the glory of God tonight. I will not be silent. I will not withhold my praise. I will lift my hands in the sanctuary because it's biblical. Not because I feel like it, because yes, I'm tired, because it's biblical. I'm going to lift my hands in the sanctuary. I'm going to clap because it's biblical. I'm going to dance because it's biblical. Not because I feel like it. It's biblical. I'm going to shout because it's biblical. And when I do, the kingdom of God is released into the atmosphere and into the earth. And it changes things. When I obey, when you obey, when there is a revelation that comes through this word, and you now hear it and you now know it, you're not ignorant anymore. You're responsible now. You can't say, I didn't know that. So you hear it and you act on it and you obey it. And you do it, you release the kingdom of heaven into your life and into the atmosphere. It pushes hell back when you obey what you know. It's releasing the kingdom of God in the atmosphere. That's why our obedience is tied to other people's freedom. Our obedience releases things in our family. When we obey, we release the kingdom of heaven into the atmosphere. Bill Johnson said, all increase in the kingdom comes through the faithful stewardship of what has already been given. Here we go. What if we started from tonight and we just started doing what we haven't been doing that we know we're supposed to do? Not waiting on God to give us any more revelation, because we probably wouldn't receive it anyhow if we're not doing what we know to do by the revelation we already have. But we just start obeying the things that we already know to do. What would happen? There's gonna be some revival breaking out up in here. That's what would happen. What if I didn't let fear or intimidation or what opinions of man thought, and I just got in his word and I just started doing what his word says, calling the kingdom of heaven into the earth? What if I just started right there tonight? There's something happening in the atmosphere right now. This is one of those things that cannot be taught. It has to be caught. You're hearing it, but you're going to have to catch it. I want us to go a little deeper. We pray, God's kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we're often praying for the return of Christ, knowing that he is coming soon. Knowing the way things are, we're praying for that. We're praying for his power to, supernatural power to invade the earth through some supernatural force, which are both biblical. But let's take it deeper. What about, Lord, release your kingdom in me. Let me be a riverbed for your river. Let me love my family and my husband the way that you do. It's not about me being blessed right now. It's about kingdom. Let me love the way that you do so that it'll cover a multitude of sins. Let me extend mercy. Let your kingdom work through me so that things might change. Let me be the conduit for your power so the atmosphere will begin to be charged around me and the expectancy will begin to be stirred. I'm not going to wait for someone else to stir the atmosphere in church anymore. Let your kingdom come through me. Revive me. Let me hunger and thirst for righteousness until you fill me. Let your kingdom transform me until I'm changed into your likeness. Let your will be done in me on the earth. Let praise be my banner. Let me use the keys of the kingdom to take authority over the attacks of the enemy. Let your name be lifted high everywhere I go. I will not wait for someone else to lift high the name of Jesus. Let your kingdom come through me. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. John Stott said, despite their overthrow, and we know that Jesus made an open show of the enemy on Calvary. We know that. He's already defeated him. But until the fullness of time, and he's bound, and all those things that are gonna happen in the days ahead, the powers of darkness, they've not yet conceded to defeat. They continue to contest every inch of their territory. The kingdom of Satan retreats only as the kingdom of God advances. He will taunt you. The enemy will taunt you as long as you let him. Somewhere we have to stand up and say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When you look in Matthew 13, Jesus teaching on the parables shows us the diversity of the kingdom. In 31, he tells us the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of a mustard seed. 33, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. 44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and he hid it, and he went and sold all that he had and bought it because of the treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fishes of every kind. That's evangelism. The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out his treasure, which is old and what is new. It's multifaceted. And when you begin to read this starting with verse 18, you find that the goal of the enemy is that when the seed of the word is planted about the kingdom of God, about the teachings of the kingdom of God, that the enemy will come by and steal and snatch if it's not engrafted and we don't have it, we're not rooted in it. He will try to steal from us the things of the kingdom, and it renders us powerless so that we won't operate in what we've been given and what is our heritage and what is our right. We find in this passage that the kingdom of God has wheat and it has tares in it. In other words, there's no perfect church. There are going to be people that are at different levels in their walk with God, and we're going to have to bear with one another in love. There are going to be people that don't have a real relationship, but we bear with them, and we love people and we serve God, and at the same time we keep ourselves pure, and God will do the exposing and the purging. When you and I become focused and in pursuit of the kingdom, and we align ourselves with the kingdom of God, we become a major threat to the kingdom of darkness. We become a major threat to the kingdom of darkness. Max Lucado said, "Let me be clear. You represent a challenge to Satan's plans. You carry something of God within you, something noble and holy, something the world needs, wisdom, kindness, mercy, skill. If Satan can neutralize you, he can mute your influence." That's why this kingdom prayer needs to become a part of our daily life. Not just something that we recite or just think of it as a pattern, but we begin to understand the depth of what it contains there and what is held there and what is provided there. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That prayer of consecration, that prayer where we prioritize and we make God first in our life, where we allow him to be the Lord of everything that we are and everything that we have, and we surrender ourselves and we say, it is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. I'm not perfect. I haven't yet arrived. I've got some flaws. I see my flaws probably more than anybody else does. We're human, but we're asking God to help us to walk in his power and walk in his authority. And the more that we submit to him day by day by day, the more like him we'll become. And the more spiritually aware we will be of when we're getting out of alignment. We'll want that intimacy with God, and we won't want to do things that don't line up with the kingdom. It won't be about, I've got to give this up and I've got to give that up. It's going to give us up. We move from consecration to supplication. Give us this day our daily bread. We can trust God's provision for our lives. Is there anyone in here that God has just provided for you and you knew it was only God? It was only God. I mean, he moved heaven and earth on your behalf. Thank you, Lord. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. He'll send ravens to feed you. He'll multiply the oil. In Matthew 14, we find that Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he prayed over it. And they broke it. He gave it to his disciples and they broke it and they distributed it to some 5,000 men and women and children, and they had 12 baskets of leftovers. He's our provider. In Matthew 17, the disciples owed taxes but had no money. Jesus told them, go to the lake, throw your line in. And when the first fish that you catch, open the mouth and there's going to be a coin in it. You take it and you go pay taxes for me and for you. He provides. He provides. He provides. He's also called us to trust him in sowing and in reaping. When we pray this, we can have the assurance that we have our seed in the ground with our tithes and offerings, that God is going to provide what we need. 2 Corinthians 9:10 says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Proverbs 3 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with your first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. He provides. There's a kingdom prayer that I wrote down that I love from Mark Rutland, and I just wanna pray it out loud over you, and then we're gonna just follow the Lord here. Lord, I pray that your kingdom will be established in my mind. Own every errant thought. Bring every wicked thought into submission until I have the mind of Christ. May your kingdom be established in my eyes. May I speak only that which is consistent with your will. May I hear every word through the filter of your kingdom. This prayer is adoration, it's consecration, it's supplication. We've talked about those, and there's repentance and intercession and protection and declaration. And I'm going to save the last couple. Next week, Sis is going to teach, and then I'm going to teach again, because it would be a little lengthy tonight, because I feel like what God wants to do is I feel like he's going to do some deep healing in a couple of weeks. I really do. I believe he's doing a lot in between there. But more than anything, we need to grab a hold and let that settle in our soul and in our spirit. The kingdom of God is within us. It's not a location. It's not that we come on Sunday and we visit the kingdom of God and we get blessed and we get encouraged and we get our needs met. And then we go back out and we come back in on Wednesday and we're back into the kingdom. And then we go back out. The kingdom of God is within us. And God wants to stir something in us. If nothing else, I want you to go from here and I want you just to begin to pray this prayer and let it get so deep inside of you, because you're going to find that when you begin to follow even just the pattern of this prayer, because sometimes we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray. But when we take this prayer and we begin to pattern it, we find that it begins to expand our understanding of the deep things of God. And we find ourselves praying for long periods of time all throughout the day. But more than anything, I pray that you grab a hold that the kingdom of God is within you. And I pray that you understand that you can link adoration and consecration together. Because once you begin, they're just gonna keep looping. Because once you begin to adore God, and your understanding begins to expand of who God is, and he becomes so big to you that your words are not enough, that you find yourself even praying in the spirit in worship because you cannot contain all that God is doing in you. And then it moves you into consecration. Lord, I want your will to come. I want your kingdom to come and your will to be done in me. And then you begin to do that, and you begin to walk in that, and you begin to walk in obedience, and you begin to walk in worship, and you begin to see God doing some exponential things in your life, enlarging your capacity to understand his ability, then it takes you right back up to adoration. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you begin to see God begin to do some things, and you know that it's only God that could have aligned those things in your life going before you. It was only God that could have made that work. And then it loops you right back up to adoration. You're my provider. You're my strength. You're my song. You're my help.